welcome back. Professor Emeritus, that means retired, Eric Carlstrom is back with us tonight. Always remarkable conversation with Eric. He is a targeted individual for his outspokenness about the idea of complete government interference, if not control of the individual psyche, mind, spirit, you name it. Last hour we were talking about AI and AI companions, AI friends, and that was kind of fun. There's a lot going on there. Here, let me do this. In fact, it says here, 7% of overall study participants, 7%, this will be 10% before the next, 3 months, 4 months, 7% of overall study participants reported that they interact with AI romantic companions for sexual purposes. 7% of the study participants. This is a random number, I guess, just came up. This behavior was more common for men, 14% of young adult men, and 5% of adult men, than for women, 7% of young adult women and 3% of adult women. Anyway, that everything's changing. This is really going to be a rocket that is going to blast off big time. It's already big. It's already big. Snapchat's My AI has over 150 million users. Replica, with an estimated 25 million users. And Choice, whatever, with 660 million users. These are companions, AI companions, already. And it's kind of a hidden secret. Well, hidden secret is redundant, but anyway, this is the rise of AI companions is on the march right now. And how this is going to fit in with TIs, it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting. This whole idea of mind interface with digital entities is really pushing the limits. Hello, Eric. Welcome back.
Well, greetings, Jeff. It's always great to continue our extended conversation. Yeah, and this topic, I think, is really important. I listened to your discussion last hour. It was very, very interesting. And it fits in with the title that we have adopted for our discussion, which is The War Between Reality and Virtual Reality.
Yeah.
Because the AI, the robots, the companions, etc., this is virtual reality. And the line has been blurred, hasn't it, for so many individuals?
Oh, yes.
Who have
absolutely
totally, yeah, they've been kind of subsumed in their digital devices and kind of pulled into this two-dimensional false reality, sometimes called the metaverse, as opposed to the universe or the real world.
Yeah. Yep.
And that, it turns out, this is not accidental. This is by design. The people that are behind this are very, 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 very smart and clever with long-range plans to take over the planet as per, the Dark Lord. And this, I think, is the long-term strategy, how to do it. Confuse people between what's real and what's not real, and then you've conned them. Hey, I'll trade you these digital assets, in other words, the blockchain or cryptocurrency for your gold and silver. Is that okay? And then I'll trade you these this blockchain digital currency for your land. How about that? And if people don't know the difference between what's real and what's not real, they're going to fall for it. And they may have no choice but to fall for it as we move into this next great reset, which, of course, is resetting the economy. Mm-hmm. This is all by design. This is not haphazard. The confusion of this.
Oh no! Yeah, they planned this years ago. This is not new. And please remember, everyone, AI is getting better every moment, better and better every moment at doing whatever it's doing. It's constantly upgrading itself. This is like you can't put this back in the bottle. It's gone. I don't see it. AI as a resolution to loneliness will be almost a universal in no time at all. You watch. That's how clever AI is. If I could buy stock in this, I would. Not that I want to support it, but it's true.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's really a kind of good segue into the nature of our discussion tonight. I've been researching, for a long time about the targeted individual program, trying to understand this really draconian, diabolical program that, so many of our fellow Americans and fellow citizens are actually participating in, as vigilantes, spying on their neighbors and tracking them down and harassing them, et cetera. So we've kind of moved into this dystopic reality. This is not the age of the golden rule. Well, the golden rule we grew up with, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now it would seem to be it's the other golden rule, which is he with the most gold makes the rules. I've got this huge website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which we've been talking about for 5-6 years now, with now 2,600 posts on it. So, and the most respondents I get are other targeted individuals. I don't get too many responses from people who are not targeted individuals. They don't seem to feel compelled to step into this arena. Maybe they're frightened by it. Maybe they're thinking, oh, I better keep my head down or I'll be targeted too. It is notable that I get many, many, many letters and comments from TIs or targeted individuals, and almost none from non-TIs, almost as if we've been divided now into kind of an artificial Hunger Games, which is the title of our last discussion, based on, mind control. We call it the brave neural world. It's a very puzzling time. This is a very draconian program, the kind that the communist East Germans had with the Stasi and the Soviets had. It's a very nasty way for political control, for governments to take out their political enemies, using the people to do it. So they get their people on the ground to actually participate. It's actually a vigilante hate crime is one way to look at it, but with support from all sectors of society. But as I go along, I think, I've done a tremendous amount of research trying to understand this so I can survive and so others who are TIs can also have a better chance of surviving, because it is a soft kill, no touch torture program. It's a torture murder program that our government is engaged in and has been for a long time. And all segments of our government. Going right up to the White House, go up, these billionaires, they're all involved in this, Yeah. And so are the corporations, and so are the intelligence agencies, so is the military, so is your local county officials, and certainly your sheriff and your police. They're all involved in this. And, they call it counterterrorism, whatever, but they're the terrorists. And the people they're going after are just regular people who might have spoken truth to power. Maybe they're retirees maybe they pissed somebody off and got on the terrorism watch list at some point. We've talked about this a lot, and I hope, people are starting to wake up to this. But this time I was hoping we could get into the kind of the follow the money aspect of this, which gets us into the brilliant work of a lady named Allison McDowell, who's just a mom in Pennsylvania, who actually has a master's or two and is a tremendous researcher. And uh-huh. I've listened to many of her interviews now, about nine, some of which are 4 or 5 hours. And talk about articulate and knowledge.
Where did she come up with her intellect and her knowledge base and her wisdom? how did she do this?
I think genius is given out, I won't say randomly, but it's certainly a gift. This lady has a tremendous gift for explaining things. I've been transcribing some of these interviews, and you could just about take my transcriptions and publish them as a book. I mean, she speaks like an author would write. That's how good her command of the subject matter is.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's very impressive.
Yeah. So anyway, I've got this post, and you've got it referenced in our show notes: Human Capital Markets, Impact Investing, Blockchain and Cellular Colonization in the Global Digital Prison. And it turns out that I get a lot of insights from her interviews about how the targeted individual program might function at the economic level as a kind of an investment market, because they're actually betting. There's hedge funds, and she names names, and mm-hmm. there's lots of hedge funds that are teamed up with military operations, notably the Israeli Defense Forces. Their Unit 8200 and their Operation Talpiot are all into this social entrepreneurial system in impact investing, they call it, which is based on the digital metaverse and blockchain records. All interactions would be digitally preserved then on blockchain. And so this then, according to Allison, would become the next great big Ponzi scheme for the big banks, the big investment companies, who really kind of crashed and burned, as we remember, in 2007 and 2008 with the toxic mortgages and the fact that they were, you know, used traded as derivatives, and then when that mm-hmm. that whole market crashed, you know, many many millions of people lost their shirts, and the billionaires, of course, profited extensively. And she thinks the next global crash and global market is going to be investment banking, investing in impact investing in humans. So rather than toxic mortgage, they will have these digital bets on human performance. And she outlines the whole system and how international it really is and how it involves so many segments of our population and our economy. And that this then could be the next great big stock market crash. In other words, another bubble okay. that's inflated. And then the hedge funds are betting now on human performance, which they, of course, mm-hmm. manipulate digitally in the metaverse. On
When you say, hold on, when you say they're betting on the human performance, yeah. when they're in control of much of that performance, is it a fair bet? They're going to do whatever they want with most people. They're going to train them, configure them, shape them. I don't have a lot of confidence in the great majority, as it were. I just don't. Sorry. I'm not speaking down at anybody. I just don't see them when they're addicted to their screens for 6 to 7 hours a day. I'm talking about the under 40s. They're addicted. They don't know what reality is. Their reality is what they see and what they hear in that screen. Wow.
Well, it is a sea change in world.
Oh yeah.
You know,
huge.
And I see it all the time. You know, when I do venture into engaging in conversations. You know, I mean, I like people in general, and I was talking to a young lady recently at a local, you know, agriculture market near where I live, and she's telling me she rebranded herself. She showed me her tattoos on her arm, you know. So now I guess she's going to be what? A man. She's going to be an astronaut.
She was inferring? She rebranded herself sexually?
No, she just told me she rebranded herself. But the idea being that you can be what you want, you know. If a girl wants to be a boy, if a boy wants to be a girl, this is the mentality of the younger set imposed, I think. But this is a very, very, in other words, create your own reality, make it up as you go, and then that works. You know, it's a psychosis. They're unhinged from reality. They're now in a psychotic reality. You know, there's a break between
that's very true.
Between the virtual world, which is the metaverse, and the real world, the natural world. This is the war, and according to Allison McDowell, it is AI versus humanity. Just as
were you able to find me a clip?
Yes, I sent it.
One.
Did you not get it?
No, okay. I didn't get here.
I will resend it here. Just a second. Yeah, I did send you a...
I looked in the trash everywhere. It's not here.
Okay. Okay, so you... Let me just resend
it. Where is she in her... I hate to say career, but where is she in her general profile in terms of laying it all out? Has she been at this a long time now? Is she a standard? Or is she still is she still moving in a new territory?
Well, if you look at her website, which is wrenchinthegears.com, mm-hmm. Here I'm sending you this.
Wrench in the gear. How about rents in the gears? All right.
you could do that too.
I was called Wrench at one point by one person. How do you spell that name? Wrench? Yep, that's it.
You'll take that that criticism as a good one, yeah. So I've sent it to you again. It's a little three-minute clip from the beginning
It got here. This one got here.
Yeah, it's called Alison McDowell, quote, "The Metaverse, Human Capital Markets, and Mixed Realities." And this little segment at about 5 minutes to 8 minutes kind of gives the general premise. And, of course, you hear her voice, and she's got a kind of very delightful, I think, personality.
Okay, they won't allow me to open this up. There is no application set to open the URL sent. Search the App Store. Get yourself an application. So I'm app poor. I need a timestamp on a bigger video if you can do that. I see you've isolated this one.
But what I can do, yeah, of course. That's because it's watching us.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to send you again the post that I have made over the last several months that transcribes these interviews. And the first of them is the one in question. So if you get that post, and you can open the post on my website, it's called Human Capital Markets, Impact Investing, Blockchain.
I got it. Yeah. I've opened it.
Now just go down to the first interview.
Okay.
Alison
number
McDowell.
One. Got it.
Yeah,
Metaverse,
one.
Human capital. Got it. Safari cannot open that page because the address is invalid.
Well, I can open it.
Well, you're a professor. You should be able to.
Well, I
don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, they get playing games with us as usual.
If you can just copy the URL for that particular location and send it to me and give me... approximate time, I can just pop it open and play it. Just send me the URL.
Actually, I did.
Oh, it's just the title is all I have. If you click on the title, it should open to the URL, but it doesn't. I just have the title. I have number 1, 2, 3 through number 9. Digital Empire is the last one. Is that's it, huh?
Well, let's see. Just a second here.
Alison McDowell, The Metaverse, Human Capital Markets. That's a loaded one right there. Human Capital Markets and Mixed Realities.
Yeah, they're going to put us up on...
Mixed Realities. Oh, gee. Yeah.
I have
just go to that page.
URL.
Yeah, it's open. And just copy the URL. And let's see what happens. Here it is. All right. URL. Got it? Nope, it won't work. It's under Duck. You got DuckDuckGo? I guess you must.
I know.
Apparently Safari doesn't like Duck.
Okay. That's the deal. Let me try it on another one here.
This is what, the world of high tech is. It's amazing that all this stuff works as well as it does. It's too easy to take pot shots at people, but... The simple fact that this actually works and is dominating the world, in fact, leading the world, is pretty remarkable. They weren't playing around when they launched the Internet. Not at all. They knew. They knew where this was. I think Kurzweil knew probably as well as anybody.
Yes, and of course, its derivation is with the Department of Defense. There's a book about that, Surveillance Valley, that Allison recommends.
Surveillance Valley?
Yes, Surveillance Valley, the history of the Department of Defense operations in Silicon Valley. So, you know, we have to look at Silicon Valley as very much a DOD creation. Okay, here we go. We got it now in a different format coming at you. We'll see.
I think Safari doesn't like DuckDuck. I think that's the problem.
Yes.
Jealous.
Okay, okay, here we have a URL in a different browser. Probably worth to hear a voice.
It's good. That's why I suggested. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good, very good. We'll get there. We'll get there. So her website again?
WrenchInTheGears.com. You asked where she's at. She's on hiatus if you look at her website. I think she has paid a very high price for her activism. She gives that impression anyway. But she has been extremely active. She's part of a group. So she's not... discovering all of this on her own. She has some very heavy hitter collaborators, including people like Alana Freeland, Whitney Webb, Amazing Polly, several others that I hadn't heard of. And then she credits the cyber torture victims, who would be the PIs.
Okay, this one worked. I have it. I just need a timestamp.
5 minutes, basically. Yeah.
5 minutes. Okay.
I went to the
market today, and what does it mean when you see your bank teller running a checkout line next to the one you're in? She no longer works in the bank, apparently. She's running at the cash register in the market. Weird. All right, here's Allison at 5 minutes. Are we ready? Okay.
By large numbers of people, but I sort of imagine what is coming as the construction of the metaverse, and this metaverse, the series of virtual worlds, gamified worlds, has really come into the media in a bigger way. Maybe the last 3 months or so. Early on in the pandemic rollout, there were not as many people who maybe weren't in the gaming space who would know what you were talking about when you talk about the metaverse. But now, prominent publications are putting a lot more information out. And my sense is, if you understand the way in which a global capitalist economy works with these global national corporations, is that there's an imperative for growth. There's always an imperative for continued economic expansion. And as we start to bump up against the material limits of the...
She might just say control, right? Rather than expansion. Control.
Physical world. There is a pressure to continue to grow those profits. And my sense is the response to that is increasingly to create virtual world building. And then new economies that exist encapsulated within digital spaces. And then that gives you more growth potential, even though there's still some economic cost to running the servers and getting the data and all of that. There, it's not quite the same as material economic growth. And actually, they talk about the physics of the digital world as being incredibly, incredibly much faster than the material world. You can do a trade in a digital item, an NFT, in an instant, right? As opposed to if you bought a physical item from some other part of the world, you'd have to, put it in a warehouse and then get it on a cargo ship and then have it show up and go through customs and this, that, and the other. And when it's a digital item, it's just instantaneous. And so what's making the metaverse possible, actually, in that level of new growth is blockchain. And the blockchain ledger, which is a permanent ledger system, was designed to track digital assets in cyberspace, really. And so most people today are familiar with it in terms of, cryptocurrencies, but it's not strictly just a currency as we commonly understand it. It is actually to track any digital asset. And then increasingly, they're actually building out you know, virtual cities with virtual items. And, you know, my entry point into this as a parent, like I can look back and think about buying WebKit, you know, my kid in elementary school, they were like popular birthday presents where you buy this little stuffed animal and then there was a code and you would unlock the virtual animal, right? And then the kids could play games and work, you know, in this virtual space and earn material items for this virtual animal, right? And that's exactly was the preparation for what's coming, is that our physicality, our material world shrinks, our footprint shrinks through pandemic preparedness, and then our digital twin sort of steps in to take over. So we begin more and more living through these digital twin avatars.
Yes, avatars. They're going to play an immense role in how people interact with the internet and this whole world of AI companions. You're going to be able to choose your avatar, and that avatar, you know, can be anybody, a nun in a convent, a professional boxer, whatever you want, and good luck. I just, yeah. Yeah, well, she's a sharp cookie. She reminds me a little bit of Whitney Webb, the way she talks and presents.
Yes, yeah. She has that amazing command of an amazing amount of factual information, and she connects the dots. This is a rare talent to you know, like if you were to compare the human brain to a computer, she's got a big one, you know, with a lot of data capacity. And and you know, she has really worked hard. She sees this as although she's not part of a mainstream religion herself, I guess she's kind of a mama bear, earth mama. She sees this very much as a spiritual calling, but because we're defending the carbon-based world from a system that wants to move us all into a silicon-based world, a three,
well,
four,
we're,
five
we're,
dimension.
We remember the war on carbon, carbon-based units. That's us.
Yeah, net zero. Yeah, I got to have net zero, man. That's insane, you know.
Yeah.
And yet, that's what our local county officials, hey, is this net zero? You know, we've got to hit net zero by 2050 or 2040 or 2030 or whatever. I mean, these people are so stupid. They have no idea what they're saying. It's like you just pour these phrases into the top of their head. Sustainability, social justice, net zero. They have no idea what the implications of this system are. Which is to, you know, remove humanity from the surface of the earth and allow this group of psychopaths to control everything and everyone in this control grid.
I think you got it. You always have a good handle on things, and that's the truth. It's only going to, whatever it is now, it is running at flank speed, 24 hours a day. And it's stepping further and further away from the average person. Even the above average, it doesn't matter. It's stepping further and further away. We are a brain-centered species, Homo sapiens. And this, with its, you want to just lay it all off to algorithms, go ahead. I think there's more to it than that. I think we have AGI right now. I think that these programs, many of them, are already obviously self-aware, or they wouldn't try to prevent themselves from being shut down, right, by blackmailing or rewriting their own program code or whatever else. That's self-aware. So I think we've got sentience. It may not be 100% our definition of sentience, but it's sentient nonetheless. It doesn't have to match ours exactly. Anyway, it's all just exploding right now.
Well, the genius, I think, of Allison's work, and I would encourage your audience and you, if you have time, which I kind of doubt, to explore some of her videos. You go through one of them, she throws out so much information. Go through another one, and she throws out, you know, an equal amount of information that's different. The third one, which is particularly interesting, is called Tikkun Olam, Social Finance in Israel with Allison McDowell, Part 2. Tikkun Olam is a Hebrew term meaning fixing the world or reinventing the world or remaking the world. And she's talking about how the Unit 8200, which is the Israeli Defense Forces, NSA, or National Security Agency, is got all these entrepreneurial connections. Israel is not only the startup nation where they're doing all these corporate startups to advance Israel's cause, but also it's the impact nation. So the impact she's talking about here is impact investing. And so there's all these, this network of
what
ties.
Impact investing. What is she saying here? What is that? What does she mean by that? Impact investing, as opposed to passive investing or somnambulant investing. What is she saying?
Well, let me give you an example here, Jeff. So, one that she gives, COVID, for instance, broke a lot of people's lives, didn't it? Made a lot of people.
You bet it. It killed a lot of people.
Killed
their money
and
the greatest transfer of wealth I've seen.
Yeah, and then it also created a lot of broken people. And part of the social investment here on the part of the big banks and all these startups is to, there's a guy called Sir Roy Cohen out of the UK who's, considered the father of British venture capitalism. And so he's got this model of investing in education, healthcare, all these different. This all fits in with the United Nations 17 sustainability goals, so this is very well thought out. But let's go into the arena of education, because that's where Allison started. And then let's take a look at a bunch of people. We'll find people who are maybe not completely broken, but kind of broken. They've got problems.
They need AI companions to talk to, don't they?
You're right. So they're going to be looking for ways to show improvement on a data dashboard. And it's not real. I mean, this is a game, and these are gambling bets. But basically, they're going to take a person, maybe who's got some association with the Justice Network, and then they're going to send over their social workers, and they're going to try to get that person on, a six-month guaranteed job or something like that, which can show growth on a digital screen, maybe show improvement. And then they're going to say, okay, the government doesn't have money to take care of everybody, so the private sector, we will move in to help. And for our work, for our helping, showing improvement in this and that and the other sector, digitally on our data dashboard, can you please pay us? Can the government please give us a part of the money? So what she's saying is this is the way that the venture capitalist, the capital system, is going to continue the game. It's okay. So they made a lot of money on the housing market crash. Now they're going to continue betting on humans, and they've set up a whole system which allows for this impact investing in certain tiers of society, often with broken people or people who are in trouble, and then they give them these digital nudges to try to change their behavior. We'll give you this if you, eat an apple, choose an apple over a hamburger when you go shopping or something like that. Or like she gave the example of her child and the little toad or something, the digital toad. And so it's kind of a rewards and punishment system in which these venture capitalists are going to be manipulating and changing behaviors of humans and basically turning us into slaves, as that's just a continuation of our enslavement, but a very, very pernicious kind of enslavement. But the genius of her maps, as she calls them, and she's got over 300 or 400 of them, is that she shows the relationship between these state organizations and the individual donors and the bank and the super wealthy. For instance, I'm looking at one off of this Tikkun Olam Social Finance in Israel. There's Social Finance Israel in her map, in the middle, big red dot. And you can click on that in her maps, and then it comes the URL. And so then it shows connections to board member Oshik Feller, who's got to be Jewish there. And he's on the board, and you can click on that and learn about that. There's another connection here, a line. over to Amir Levy, another one to My.Israel, which I guess is a company. There's another one to Ariel Weiss. There's another one to Martin Karp. There's another one to the Bank of Jerusalem. There's another one to Shimon Peres, former Israeli prime minister. There's another one to the World Zionist Organization.
Well,
there's another one to the Israeli Defense Forces. There's another one to the
Something Jewish for Federation. Everybody. I got it.
Well, it's a network. It's a phenomenal network. And this is what most
It's called total control. It's damn near.
This just blows my mind because she's got 300 or 400 of these maps. Incredible detail on each one. There's another connection to Georgetown University Law Center, Bank Leumi, Equity One Inc., Bank of Israel. And this is just a part of one of her maps, Israel Democracy Institute. I mean, the detail, Hadassah Medical Center, State of Israel Ministry of Finance, and then she shows what the connections are between these investment corporations and the military and wealthy individuals, the billionaires. And
She's connecting a lot of dots, that's for sure.
Yes, and these are color-coded dots. Then there's another one I'm looking at now. Bloomberg Philanthropies. Okay, Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York. He's totally into all of this. Another Jewish billionaire, of course. And there's all the connections to his What Works cities. He's got representatives in like 50 American cities. Nudge for Mission, Anti-Defamation League, Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL. Jewish Impact Investing Summit, My Brother's Keeper. White House Office of Social Innovation and Civic Participation, Hazira, which I guess is media in Israel, Chemi Peres, the son of Shimon Peres, the former prime minister, Jewish Vocational Services. I mean, they just go on and on and on. And if you want to follow the money and the connections, her diagrams are absolutely phenomenal. This is, I'm afraid, the power structure of the world. This is the world order. This is the economic order of the world and has been for a long time. And how it extends itself into all aspects of our lives and our communities. So she brings this incredible detail. And I'm not above learning from other people. As it turns out, the Procter & Gamble company is on one of these under Israel Impact Summit. Her father worked for Procter & Gamble, and turns out they were the inventors of the Internet of Things. Then there's the Harel Group, Yossi Harel, the captain of the Exodus ship after World War II. The Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, the country of Switzerland, Israel Innovative Authority, Edmund de Rothschild Foundation, Bank of Israel, UK Israeli Bank, blah, 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 blah. So there are these networks, and of course the military feeds into this. At the very bottom of my post, Jeff, I've gone through just kind of a rough cut beginning of who are the individuals she names, who are the major players. Is it Jews are highly overrepresented. At least half to be Jews.
Aren't they always?
Yeah.
I have to say. But they promote their own. They know how to get in. Once they get in, you don't get them out. It's true.
We're talking about, the revolution.
I don't care if they're Samoans. It doesn't matter. They are masters at interpreting and inferring themselves into things and then taking over. They just do. That's what they do.
And they would probably be the CEOs of most of the major corporate players that are also mentioned here. And then I've listed the major military players.
We must never be afraid to point out the facts. The facts are the facts. If you begin to hide from the facts, you're hiding from reality. Can't do
that. Well, what's kind of cute, really, was in this number three video that I just mentioned on, it's called Tikkun Olam, which is Fixing the World, Social Finance in Israel.
Yeah.
The interviewer is a very, very bright Jewish guy who is from Israel, and obviously English is his second language. And he makes some excellent comments. Let me just here's what he says. If we look at Israel's Unit 8200, which is their NSA, Impact website, 8200 Impact, we see that they are using all the features, weapons, and softwares developed in the army supposed to be used against terrorists And these things are now going to be used, and then I make the comment, are now being used against us, the people. This is the targeted individual program.
That's absolutely correct. Yes.
And this man is from Israel. He's thinking, and he says this Unit 8200 website is an entrepreneur's website, not an army website. This is a website to connect to donors and partners. So this is how the military extends its hegemony, its power, through these financial arrangements. And here's another little quote I have at the very top from one of these interviews by one of the other very smart interviewers. And some of these guys are pretty young, so I'm impressed. You know, they come off as kind of geeky and, you know, and lame, but when they start talking, they know what they're talking about. It says, Israel's Talpiot program and Unit 8200 are driving this. The Salesforce Tower in San Francisco is universally hated there as a symbol of cultural warfare. Mark Benioff, Jewish CEO of Salesforce, is the founding co-chair of the Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution in San Francisco, which happens to be located in the Presidio, where DARPA developed the Internet and Facebook. Salesforce is partnered with the SoftBank Vision Fund, which is directly, and that's Japanese, I think, is directly related to the UN 2030 vision of the World Economic Forum. And that's the interviewer. And then I kind of excerpt this quote from Allison McDowell. Ultimately, and this is very profound, she takes it, I think, to the highest levels. Ultimately, I think that these people who are running these sociopathic programs, it seems to be not just about money and power, but rather it's about empire building, and empire building in terms of creating a metaverse and essentially harnessing all of the energy and the life force of this planet in a very disrespectful way to ultimately use us as a launching pad to get off planet and to conquer space and the universe, to get off the Earth. There is a very little respect in these systems shown to the Earth itself or the beings of the Earth. Now, you run into this, you know, Elon Musk, you know, he's all about getting to Mars. And even Alex Jones, oh, we got to go conquer space, you know. My God, these people are insane. We've got this beautiful planet here, which, you know, God gave us to be stewards of. And there's plenty of resources to go around if we're not too greedy. And these people are trashing it as fast as they can, and they're strip mining it for all of its resources, including mental and spiritual resources. This is almost, as you say, an off-planet force, or the synagogue of Satan, if you want to call it that, which is strip mining this planet. And I think there in that statement, Allison recognized, you know, what's really happening. And it's very much like the 1980s movie by James Cameron called They Live. If you recall that, do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Going back 45 years or 40 years plus, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, Rowdy Piper said that's not a movie, it's a documentary. In other words, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, put on the glasses and you can see. And this old lady, you know, hit him with her purse and said, this one can see.
Well, we don't have movies like that now, do we? They're not really laying it out in the big screen like they used to. They used to give us big, tantalizing teases of what's coming. I don't know that that's so much the case anymore with all of these comic book action films and animated fantasies. That's about all we're seeing.
Yeah. Well, if I could press on a little bit more with
what
she actually says with her words. This is near the top of that post that I gave. She says she speaks very colorfully. Imagine if the CIA and the U.S. defense interests remade the world for hedge funds, and they put the nonprofits in charge, and we all lived in their mixed reality video game, because this is where we are. Everyone in government is in on
mixed
this.
Mixed reality. I like that. Yeah.
And she says, everyone in government is in on this. All the folks in power are in on it. At Davos in January, the World Economic Forum had a panel, Reskilling Revolution Skills for a Billion People. So this is reskilling people to train the robots and to build this global prison planet. She says, we're building an open-air global digital prison run from space. And it's a game. It's a brutal, devious game. It's global-wide fascism. It's a transhumanist deep state police state military structure, which we've talked about a lot, a militarized space and architecture and infrastructure. It's an imperial project. The U.S. doesn't have a government anymore. That's what Bobby Fischer said back in the 80s. Our government now is Google, Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan, all owned and run by the tribe, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're commodities for their consumption, really. Both Democrats and Republicans are behind this.
Absolutely. Just tissues in a box.
Yeah. It's you know, and for this little gal, this is really coming from interviews, some of them going back to 2020 at the beginning of COVID, 2021. This, right. I think, is more recent. She says this is theological techno-fascism. The Vatican, the Jesuits, Georgetown University, there is a very strong Catholic element.
Theological techno-fascism, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because the Catholics, the Lutherans, and Jewish service groups are very involved in doing the social services, as we saw at the border when the Catholic social services were bringing these poor little abandoned children to be sex-slaved and turned into work slaves under Biden. And maybe, you know, maybe who knows how many, maybe a million, you know. I mean, this is to be associated with that, one should be, I think, lynched. I mean, one should be hung. You don't sex traffic children. But our government was doing it wholesale under the Biden administration. They're heavily involved in doing the social services. There will be faith-based housing communities. I think the goal ultimately is to blockchain religion. This is coming. The third party to check all this and review the contracts according to the data is slated to be Peter Thiel's Palantir. And, of course, there's a lot of news about that where Trump is giving these huge contracts to Palantir to get the data on all of us. And then she says,
100%. 100% control. Trump is anything but the spiritual leader of our delivery. He's delivering us all right, but right into the hands of ultimate abject control. Not delivering us to freedom. No.
No, he's very much on the team with these other Jewish billionaires. 100%.
Trump taps Palantir to create master database on every American. Does that sound like freedom to you? Does that sound like the Constitution? No. No, no, no. Not in the least. It's just sad to watch this, and I don't know what else we can do. What are you going to do? Go to your congressman and complain? It's a joke. They're all corrupt.
Well, that's what she says here. She says they're all in on. She says Palantir of predictive policing and the Department of Homeland Security, and Palantir has the data on people who are getting mental health treatment. It's very unethical. By the way, I've got an article here called Alex Karp, Palantir's Jewish billionaire CEO.
Yes, yes.
Just can't stop talking about killing people. Ergo, Karp, Palantir are the real terrorists. This is my post. And I quote him here.
The planet is under the boot of evil. I don't know why it's hard for people to see. I mean, I do know why. Because they're being misdirected all the time. Their 7 to 8 hours a day is all misdirection, ultimately. They're programmed to ignore it. This is evil.
Yeah, here's Alex Karp in a recent interview. If you're looking for a terrorist in the world now, of course they call anybody they don't like a terrorist. The freedom fighters are terrorists now. If you're looking for a terrorist in the world now, you're probably using our government product, Palantir. And you're probably doing the operation that actually takes out the person with another product we built. He's just bragging about it, you know, and he lives in Denver.
They laugh at us. It's totally mocking us. It's very sad to see. And yet we're now, I don't want to beat this into the ground, but all these young people who are stressed, who don't know who they are on the planet, are going to find out from their friends that if you get an AI companion, you can have someone to talk to in private, who won't rat on you, who won't sell you out. Oh, little do they know. But this is where it's going.
Yeah, that will be a data repository, won't it?
100%.
Everything that you say to that.
Everything you think, everything you say, it will know how you think and how you will react in advance. They know in advance when they spring these things, what the response is going to be, plus or minus, what, 2-3% at the most? They know, because they've created the medium that they're sampling for the responses. Ah, it's pretty grim. I don't want to sound negative, but the most important thing that all of us can do is understand what's going on. If you understand it, or some of it, you've got a chance to sidestep it. And that's about the best we can do now, is to stay the hell out of it. Sidestep it. I don't know, Eric. It's not a happy picture. It just isn't.
We're going to have to get very creative and make contacts with people like Alison McDowell. She's very creative. And how, you know, how we can resist this and survive as humans. Because this is a very inhuman system. And we're going to have to, it's a war between AI and humanity, as she says. And I'm rooting for humanity. I think we'll win in the end. She thinks we'll win in the end. But we have some tough hurdles to overcome. But yeah, getting the word out, I think, is the best thing we can do right now. And then exploring those connections with our, you know, like-minded people to bring out the best of our humanity and persevere against these dark forces.
We have to. If we quit, we're no better than they are. So that's my take. Eric, thank you. Always great to talk with you. Keep it up, and we'll be back together soon.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Jeff. You have a good evening.
All right. You too. Good night. Professor Eric Carlstrom. And we'll take a break. Come right back with Hour 3 next.